Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. And today's topic will be on the IRS letter 226J, What Employers Need to Know. So, Shelley, employers recently started receiving letter 226J from the IRS. Can you go over what exactly the letter is?
Yes, Jim. Letter 226J is something from the IRS that is for large employers. So if you are an employer that has 50 or more full-time and full-time equivalent employees, and we are going back to 2015 year as well, so we're looking at large employers as of 2015. Remember that the Affordable Care Act was passed in March 23rd of 2010, but employers did not have to prove that they were covering their employees until that 2015 year. So these penalties that started going out late in 2017 and early 2018 are for those large employers. And it's a letter from the IRS that is 10 to 14 pages long. It includes some information in the letter, such as the ESRP table, the Employer Responsibility Table, the Form 14764, the 14765, and a lot of additional information that an employer needs to complete this and return it back. Probably the most important thing is on the face of the letter. On the right-hand side, there are 8 or 9 different small topics. At the very bottom of those 9 topics is the actual response date that the IRS is looking for. So if the letter was dated December 13th, then roughly IRS is looking for that response within one month. So by January 13th, they should be returning the information to the IRS. It is absolutely critical that the employers use that date, and if they're not going to be able to get information back to the IRS by that date, they need to call the number on that letter and request an extension, and those extensions have been granted. But that timeline is most important, because if you miss the timeline, the penalty is yours regardless of if it's right or wrong, and a lot of them have been wrong.
Now, the IRS started sending out the letters late last year. What are the recent developments surrounding this?
Well, the IRS letters started to go out late 2017, and we saw some really big penalties. I think what the IRS did at that time was it took them a long time to get all their systems in order so that they could properly meld many things together to get these penalty letters out to the employers. And what we were seeing is some really large penalties. They were all related to penalty A, or the sledgehammer penalty. That means that you were an employer, you were supposed to offer coverage that was minimum value and affordable. If you didn't, then you were penalized for every employee that you had that was full-time. So that penalty was very large.
Now, the penalties that were due in December 2017 and January 2018, and as you said, they were rather large. Why is that?
Well, they were large because we were looking at employers a lot of times that didn't offer coverage at all. And a lot of times they answered a piece of the 1094C incorrectly. On the 1094C, Part 3, there are 5 columns. And column A, you had to answer, did we offer minimum essential coverage. That means basically, did you offer a group plan to your full-time employees? So many employers didn't understand what was being asked there or incorrectly answered no, which meant that if they had 200 employees, then they got a $2,000 plus fine times 200 employees. So it's a pretty big penalty. And we were seeing penalties that were in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. A matter of fact, the biggest penalty I saw was well over $500,000. And I talked to colleagues that saw penalties that were in the millions of dollars. So if you think about it as the low-hanging fruit, the employers that obviously and blatantly appeared not to follow the instructions, and those were the ones that the IRS wanted to get out to attempt to get some money returned back to the coffers to help pay for the Affordable Care Act.
Now, I understand these letters come in waves. Do you see any changes in the penalty size or the type of information they are now requesting?
they are coming in waves, and you know, roughly every 15, 20, 30 days we see them go out. There's no rhyme or reason from the IRS about when they're happening, but I do get a flurry of them, and then there seems to be a lull for 20, 30 days, and then I'll get another flurry of them. And what's happening now is we've gone through that low-hanging fruit and those really big amounts, and now we're seeing more pointed questions, such as when you get these forms, the 14765 is a listing of all of the employees that went to the exchange and received a tax credit or subsidy. And the months that are being penalized will not be grayed out. If there are months that, let's say Shelley Bloom went and got a tax credit or subsidy, but the IRS is not looking to penalize the employer, they will be grayed out or say no premium tax credit. So your job as an employer is to look at those specific employees and figure out, is the information here correct? Does some of it need to be changed or updated so that, you know, maybe Shelley should not have been eligible for that tax credit or subsidy? And you can show that by responding to the codes that are there. So the new wave of these, the penalties might be a little bit smaller. They are more particular. And remember that as this employer that has 50 or more employees, you only get a penalty if at least one of your employees goes to the exchange and gets that tax credit or subsidy. That triggers all of this penalty stuff from the IRS to the employer. If you did not offer affordable coverage back in 2015, but nobody went and got a tax credit or subsidy, then there's no penalty. So it's catching a lot of employers unaware that somebody did go, and oh, who was it? And then you have to look at the forms you filled out a couple years ago, because we're talking about forms that were filled out in 2016 for the 2015 year. What did we do? And complications still, too, is that was the first year that all this happened. We didn't know how to fill out the forms correctly. You know, there were a lot of third-party administrators that were doing this on the behalf of employers. They weren't certain what they were doing. IRS changed their directions after their initial wording of how things should be done. Like one of those things was, if you are a control group and you had seven different EIN numbers that operated in your big control group, then at the beginning they said everybody reports up to one form and sends it into the IRS for everybody. Before the filing, they changed their mind and said, no, we want every EIN to do their own 1094C forms. And so that goofed up a lot of people in what they were sending in. So it was definitely a period of confusion. What I can tell you is that the IRS has been very generous and forgiving. And if you are diligent in getting this information back in a timely fashion, and you're including changes to the 1094Cs, changes to the 1095Cs, and completing your form 14764 and 14765, one form 764 just says that, look, I disagree with the penalty that you're sending me, and I want to talk about this some more, so I'm sending in all this supporting documentation to hopefully get rid of this penalty.
Now, you had mentioned form 14764. What does it have to do with the letter?
It is the official response. In other words, the IRS wants to see this coming back. It's the employer responsibility letter. They want to make sure that they've got the proper contact on there, because that information is often pre-populated from the IRS. But if they have Jim Scott's name, and Jim is the CFO, but he's not really the one that's responsible for this, then we want to take somebody else's name and put it on there. So it's not only that, but saying, okay, the IRS is giving me a penalty immediately, and let's say that penalty is $250,000. I don't agree with that, and I want the opportunity to tell you why I don't agree with that. So it's really the official response back to the IRS saying, I don't agree, here is why. And then you can make changes to some of the forms that you initially sent in. You can write a cover letter and explain what happened. You might possibly want to send in your renewal notice, because we had transition relief back in 2015. there were two types of transition relief that an employer could claim. The first one was if your plan renewed and it was not renewing on a calendar year, so it renewed in June instead of January, then you had transition relief for part of 2015, and when your plan renews in June, that's when you had to offer affordable coverage. The other transition relief was for groups in the 50 to 99 market. In 2015, they did not have to offer minimum value affordable coverage. They did for the next year for 2016, but in 2015, they wanted to ease those mid-size employers into this, so you could claim transition relief. But you also had to show on the 1095Cs, those are the forms that you give to the employees, in part two, what your plan renewal month was. A lot of employer groups did not include that part, so the IRS didn't know when you were claiming transition relief. So it's things that IRS learned, things that they needed to capture, and things that employers needed to understand too. So a lot of give and take in that year, and the IRS said that there would be a lot of grace or grace periods for this learning cycle. And I have seen that, so they are being very generous.
Now, as the letters continue, is there a particular business that is being targeted?
I don't think that there's a particular business that's being targeted, but what I'm seeing more of now is that we're out of those really large penalties, the ones that we saw in December and January and some into February. Now, as we're moving to get letters that are need responses for June and July, we're seeing a lot of the B penalty. And the B penalty is the $3,000 penalty or the tack hammer penalty. But that B penalty only applies to an employee that found that the coverage that was offered by the employer was not affordable. So in the first one where we saw an employer that had 200 employees didn't offer coverage to any of them as full-time employees, that's a big penalty. Now we're seeing that Shelley and Jim and maybe three or four others found that the coverage wasn't affordable. Shelley went to the exchange or marketplace. She got the tax credit or subsidy. That triggers that B penalty back to the employer. But now it's only for Shelley. It doesn't affect any of the other full-time employees that coverage was offered and it was affordable. So obviously we're seeing much smaller penalties. Penalties that might be $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. And maybe those errors are a little bit more difficult to uncover when you look at that 14765 form, which is the list of everybody that got the tax credit or subsidy. It's sometimes harder to figure out the reasons why the IRS is penalizing that employer.
Thank you, Shelley. Everyone, I want to thank everyone for listening to today's podcast, and I also want to make the following disclaimer before we end. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. So once again, thank you, Shelley, and we hope you found this podcast helpful and informative. If you have any questions, then please contact your account manager or salesperson. Thank you.